All right, take your Bibles tonight and let's turn over to Titus chapter 2. If anybody would like the notes from the men's meeting with the answers on them, because I don't know if you'll remember them, or I can give them to you, Blake, and you can see if you can remember them. Maybe I'll do that, and then I'll give you the answers the next week. I'll print those out for the men. Yep, there she is. Praise the Lord. All right, Titus chapter number 2. We're going to read our text verse. We're still on the home builders and trying to have a home that pleases God. You realize if we have a home that pleases God, then those homes that are part of the church, that make up the church, we could have a church that pleases God. And that thing works that way. So that's what we want to have. And Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3 is where we'll read down through verse number 5 and continue tonight on the divine patterns for the wives. We were on the men for a long time, and we'll be on the wives for a little while now. I told my dad on Sunday with Sunday school and with this, I'm not in any hurry. I have nowhere to go. Amen. So I'm going to take my time. I want to make sure we get this, and I don't want to push through it. I don't want to be like a broken record either, but I want to make sure we get it. And when you're dealing with the home and with doctrine for the home and what God wants for us, that's not something to take lightly. I don't think it's something to take lightly. I think it's something that ought to be considered and applied and show God that we mean business when it comes to His Word. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And so we began to look at that last week. Now turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. There's things that a young lady needs to be taught. And that's what the Bible tells us here, that the aged women are to teach the younger women these things. And we're going to get into more of those things as we go along here. But the fact that it tells them that they need to teach the younger women those things mean that it means exactly what it says. They have to be taught. There's things that they don't know how to do maybe properly. And we see that in society today. We see that when you go out to a public restaurant or go out to a store somewhere, the family is out of control. Out of control. You have a husband, a wife, and some children. They go into a store. I've given this illustration before, but it's still relative today. They go into the store and the child starts acting out. The dad gets on to the child. The wife gets on to the dad for getting on to the child. And then the child gets on to the mom. It's a mess. It is bad, 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 bad out of line. I remember growing up, we would go into stores and we lined up like a bunch of little ducks walking through there. And we were happy to do it. We didn't mind doing it. We thought it was neat. And my parents got compliments all the time. Now with my children, I see where people say, "How do you get them to do that?" I look and say, "How do you not get yours to do it?" I mean, they got a dog that'll do whatever on the snap of a finger. But the kids are out of control. And I've seen it. I've seen the dad get onto the kid, and then the mom gets onto the dad. Amen. I could just see her counting down to him. 10, 9, 8. And he just, you know, puts his head down. It's sad. Very, very sad. But we live in a totally different world. And I realize there's some that might not have children. You might have grandchildren, whatever the case might be. The Bible's still Bible, regardless of where you're at in your life. And we have young couples in here, and most of them are my family. So I want them to know what the Bible says. And I want to continue to understand what the Bible says for my family. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. So this the young lady needs to be taught some of these things, to be sober, to be serious, to love their husbands, love their children, be discreet, chaste keepers at home, and all those things that we mentioned. We'll go over some of those as we go on. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And so we talked about her testimony, her attitude. If you have a lost husband, the way that you respond to him in obedience to the word of God could win him over. And it could be a testimony to him. It is very convicting for a man if his wife is submissive and obeying when he's not being somebody that needs to be submitted to. But that's convicting. He might not show it, but it's going to bother him. It's going to bother him. All right, one more place we'll turn over to. We're just trying to go back through some of these real quick. And we'll pick back up on this one here. It's left off. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read 22 through 24. And we left off on the wife is to submit to her husband. So we're going to continue that one tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's hard to swallow for most folks. It says in everything, but that's what it says. And so the wife is to submit to her husband. And we left off last week talking about how this law of submission for a wife to a husband is not given to women because God doesn't like women. I mean, that's some people might think that, or they think that God is, you know, sexist or whatever, and whatever all the other words that they come up with, bigot and all those things, that's just how God is. And he doesn't like women because he makes them submit to a man. But that's not the case. God did not give the law of submission in Ephesians chapter 5 because he is against women. He gave them that submission to a husband on the contrary because he wants to protect them. Because he loves you. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, for the church. Why? Because he loves us. He first loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We fall under submission of the Lord Jesus Christ as a church and as a child of God. And that is a loving thing for him to do, is to not only die for us and save us, but for us to fall under submission to him and him to protect us. Miss Emily talked tonight about sometimes you don't know what to do and don't really, in your mind, the devil plays tricks and you think that nobody cares, but yet he cares. And it's nice to know that we can fall under his submission and we can obey his word and he'll take care of us. And that is an honor that God has given to ladies. And you fall under the submission of the man there, and you fall under the submission of your husband. And that's a God-given protection in your life. But the only way it'll work for you, for God to bless, is if you will yield and submit to that authority that God's given. That's the only way it'll work. If not, it'll be misery. It'll be absolute misery. I'm going to show you later on throughout this study on how God designed that for protection. He designed that for security and for protection in your life. God established order in the home for two reasons. One, to protect the wife and children. There's order there and structure to protect them. We've already went over the men and what those reasons were about protecting them spiritually and physically and emotionally and intellectually and all those things. As a man, that is our job, is to protect our home and our family. But if she refuses to submit to her husband, she's removing herself from that protection. And now you're putting yourself and your children in a very, very dangerous place. And you're opening yourself up to attacks of the devil because you're refusing the protection that God put in your life. That submission is not because God is against women. He established a home for protection of the wife and children. And number two, he established order for harmony in the home. I mean, go find me a family that is not in order and show me peace and harmony. It's not there. All the kids in the neighborhood that we grew up in, and I'm not just saying this because my parents are here. I said it before they were here. I thank God for it. And it wasn't because of them. It's because they obeyed God's word. And I'm thankful for that. But all the kids in the neighborhood we grew up in, they did not want to be in their house. Every kid in the neighborhood wanted to come to our house. You say, was it quiet? No, it wasn't quiet. There's five kids and neighbors. But it was peaceful. It was peaceful. There was order in the home. There was order there. And their homes were chaotic. I went into some of their homes. We weren't allowed to go into some of their homes because thankfully our parents have said, no, you cannot go over there. We don't know what you're going to be exposed to. But I might step in the door for just a minute while they ask their mom if they can go play ball or whatever. And you walk in there and it, and you can feel it's just depressing. And there's no peace. There's no harmony. There's fighting. There's yelling. There's screaming. All those things. There's no harmony or peace in the home. And it's because the home is out of order. We're going to get on the children eventually. And I know we have young kids in here. We had a couple older ones. But they can disrupt the harmony in a home. You can have a husband and a wife that are doing what they're supposed to do, but a rebellious teenager that's going to do whatever he or she wants to do, and that could disrupt the harmony in a home. It could. But I tell you what, that they have a much better chance of making it if mom and dad are where they're supposed to be. This thing's a trickle-down effect. We talked about how Jesus is the head of everything. We don't have to spend a lot of time on him because he does what he's supposed to. Amen. The husband is where it messes up most of the time. And then now, and we dealt with the husband for a long time. I'm not going to get back on that. But harmony in the home. It's very, very important to have, but God established order. God establishes order in a church. Go into a church where there is no order and tell me if there's harmony. You go into a church that's deacon run and there's no authority and no order in that church, there's going to be chaos in that church. We've seen it time and time again in different places. God has given order to a church. He's given order to a home, and there's reason for that. It's for protection, and it's for harmony, for peace, for unity, and that's what we need. There was a lady with a feministic attitude, and you say, who was she? I don't know. Walk out that door and look around. They're everywhere today. But she said, she made this statement, whoever said that God was a man? You know, there's people today, they're trying to neuter God. Now, the Bible does say in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, that God is not a man that he should lie. You know that saying? He's not like you and I. He's not going to lie. He's not going to mess up. But God is a man. He is male. And for a woman to deny the fact that he is a male and to try to make God feminine or neuter is a very wicked thing to do. You know, they have gender neutral Bibles now. Every bit of that is an attack of the devil on the home. It's an attack on the home. And if it's an attack on the home, it's an attack on the church. It's an attack on young men. How many times have you seen a young man in the last few years get called to preach? Anybody heard of it? Even heard of it? Brother Nick did. He's older. Amen. Thank God for it. He surrendered to the call to preach. You don't hear it very often anymore. Why? Most young men don't have a desire to preach. They don't even have a desire to be manly. They don't have a desire to get dirty and work and just be a man. And that's been the devil's been attacking. Goes back to the home. And so the feministic attitude is, you know, whoever said that God was a man or might get upset at the Bible because it says that God is, you know, this bigot of a man that doesn't like women. He's against women. God is for women. You realize he created women? Amen. I've said this before in preaching, you know, when I preach, they say, well, you don't like women. Yes, I do. I'm married to one, and my mom's one. I do like women. Amen. But that's the attack that comes against it. You know what I like? I like the order of God's word. I like the order in the home. And that attitude is not a good one to take. You know what? God's love for women is shown in the fact that he protects them. His love for women is shown in the fact that he's put a man over them and he's holding that man responsible. That should be a blessing. That should be a blessing that you have that protection and you have that hedge over top of you. And so if you're in subjection to your husband, then your position as a wife is covered by the protection of that husband. And he will protect your home. He's supposed to protect you spiritually, but all those things are going to fall on him. And if he doesn't, God's going to chastise him, not you. If an individual has to get a spanking from God, it would be much better for someone else to take it. Right? It'd be a whole lot better. And so, just obeying God's word in this matter of the order of the home and submitting to the husband. Most of the time, our prideful nature gets in the way, and we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We don't want. I mean, I've heard it so many times, not necessarily in church, but I have heard it from some church people that no man is going to tell me what to do. Okay, close your Bible and get rid of it, because God is a male, and he wrote the Bible. So your authority is all messed up. And if we're teaching our children that not to respect and honor the husband and not to submit to him, then you're raising them to not submit to God one day. And they're not going to submit to a boss one day. And then they're going to be homeless. And then you're going to raise your grandchildren. Life would be a whole lot smoother if Christians just lived the way that God commanded them to do. The wife who wants those things in her home wants peace and love and harmony and joy. And I really don't know, you know, most Christian women that have a desire to serve God, I don't know of any that says, hey, I do not want peace and joy and harmony in my home. I want to live in misery. I don't think any of them would actually say that, but their actions sometimes speak otherwise. But if that's what they want, they can have it by just obeying God's word. The wife that wants those things in her home, she's going to happily submit to God's order for her home. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I like this verse. I like Deuteronomy chapter 11. It's a lot of instruction for a home. Look at Deuteronomy deals with kind of setting up some things in the home and, you know, taking the laws of the Lord and writing them on the posts and doing all those things and loving the Lord thy God and keeping his statutes and keeping his charge. You can read all that through there. You can read all that. And it's all about, hey, just taking the word of God and applying it to your life, applying it to your heart. And God will bless it and it'll work out so much better. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 21. All right. Okay, go back up and read verse 18, just to get the context here. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. I've already talked about this when I talked about what is a home and what should be seen in the home. The word of God should be seen in your home. I mean, you should have pictures of scriptures and pictures of things that remind them of the Bible. Those things are good to have in your home, and there's scripture on it right here. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. Why should we do those things? Why should we teach our children? Why should we write the words of God in our heart? Why should we love the Lord and obey God? We see there in verse number 1, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, His commandments always. Why should we do those things? Verse 21, that your days may be multiplied. There's one thing. And the days of your children. Your children will be blessed. And in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. Your life will be blessed. And look at this. As the days of heaven upon the earth. Who would not want heaven on earth? Amen. Does that right there say that they can have as the days of heaven upon the earth? How? A home with order. A home with Bible. A home with husband and wife and children in harmony and in order and those things. And ladies, you know, they get real sentimental about things like heaven on earth and things like that. But you can have that in your home. You can have that in your home. And so, you know, in order to have that, you have to submit to your husband. You have to follow what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, verse 4 talks about a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. A meek and quiet spirit. I'll say this and I'll finish and then we'll clean. It is not the husband's responsibility to make his wife be in subjection to him. That's something she has to obey the Lord and do. He must lead his home. He must direct his home. He must do that. And she might follow out of being made to do it, but it will not be from her heart and she will not get the blessings of God. To be in submission to your husband is not to do it and then grumble the entire time having to do it. Or in your heart being mad and upset that you have to do something you don't agree with. To submit is to obey and trust God. And say, I'm doing this not just to please my husband. I want to please my husband, but I'm doing this to please the Lord. Just as a husband, we try to rule our home by the authority of the Word of God, but we do it not to be, to say, look what I can do, or look what decisions I can make, or look who I am. We do it to please the Lord. Whatsoever ye do, do it to please the Lord. And you can't go wrong doing that. I'm wanting to lead my home and lead my children and guide them and direct them and lead my wife. I'm trying to do that because I want to please God. And I'm going to submit to my husband, ladies. Submit to my husband and children. I'm going to obey my parents because I want to please the Lord. And man, in return, He blesses. Isn't that good? God saves us and He gives us instructions and He blesses us for doing it. But I tell you what, you don't want God's hand removed off of you. You don't want it taken off. You cannot make another person do something from the heart. You can make them do something. Amen. I can make my children do whatever it is I want them to do. But I cannot make it be from the heart. And husband, you cannot make her submit to you from the heart. The reason why I said you can't make them submit, you can make them obey you. But you can't make them submit because submission's from the heart. Submission is when they're willing to obey, to do what they're asked, to fall in line, to fall in order, because they want to please God. You can make them do whatever, but you cannot make them submit. You know, this is one reason why I think we ought to pray one for another. Especially in the home. Pray for each other. Strengthen each other. Help each other. Cannot make it. It's just like a child. You cannot make a rebellious child. You can force them to do anything you want, but you cannot force them. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to whip the daylights out of them. Amen. I've had the daylights whipped out of me. And I took it. But I wasn't being submissive. It was later when God broke my heart. And some of you might have seen that with your children. You know, you had a discipline. I know I've been through the discipline before, and I got up and left, and my dad knows that it didn't make it from here to here or from here to here. But later on, God would break my heart. And I've gone back to him weeks later, months later, and said, hey, I'm sorry, thank you. That's the difference between making somebody and submission. Now, he had to discipline. He had to do that. That was his responsibility. He has to answer to God for that. Just like I do with my children sometimes. And like you do with yours. And what, like decisions you might have to make with your wife and with your family. Because you have to answer to God. But that submission as a wife, and I'm dealing with the wives now, that submission, that's between you and God and your heart. When that gets right, then you can submit to your husband because you're trying to submit to God and trying to obey him. You can't be made to submit. That's something that takes place in the heart. All right, I'm going to stop there.